You're listening to the LifeSpring Church podcast. For more information about LifeSpring Church, please go to www.lifespringchurch.org.uk.
It's good to be here again. Thank you, John, for leading us into the presence of the Lord. And a couple of weeks ago, was 2 weeks ago? Who spoke last week? James, yeah, 2 weeks ago then. Yeah, 2 weeks ago, I just mentioned we're having a look at holding on to hope and just coming out of this little trilogy. And so today I want to look at faith. If we could have the thing up there, thank you very much. And over the next week or so, I'll just probably look for opportunities to touch on these other aspects too. So reading from Colossians, Paul says this: "We have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace." Just a mention there of those three words, faith, hope, and love, very much part of the foundation of the church at Colossae. And then from Corinthians, verse 11, chapter 13, "When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete. But then I will know everything completely, just as God knows me completely. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love." So these three attributes which Paul mentions, I've just been feeling are important for us to see as a foundation for us. We sometimes sing about the foundation of love, and we're building our lives on that, but faith and hope are such important aspects too. Certainly if we're going to fulfill God's purpose and plan for our lives. And the church in Colossae, as we just read, was famous. It was well known because of its faith in the Lord. Clear, simple faith and trust in the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the midst of a pagan Roman Empire, Colossae stood out. And also it was known for its love for the whole church. People noticed. It wasn't just people that just came to attend a meeting by the sound of it. Not even just disciples, but those which loved each other. And if you remember Jesus' words, he says, you know, that's how the world will know that you're my disciples, by your love for each other. Well, this church was expressing that too. And Paul tells us why. It's faith and love springing from hope. A hope that goes on into eternity. A hope that lasts forever. And he gives this reason. This is the reason for such passionate, faithful, loving, and a fruit-bearing church. And as I read that short little description, I think, Lord, for LifeSpring, please. For LifeSpring. That we're known for our strong faith. Our strong hope and our love for God and each other. So this week, we're going to look at faith, first part of Paul's trilogy. And I want to briefly look at three aspects of faith. And as I'm preparing, I'm thinking, some of this I'm strong on, some of this I'm weaker on. Lord, increase my faith. Increase our faith. But I just want to look at three aspects. And the first is, if you like, the faith. So Acts 14 verse 21 says, "They preached the gospel in that city and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith." We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. So if you're going through hardships, don't be surprised. Becoming a Christian doesn't make life all rosy and comfortable. Actually, becoming a Christian can make life less comfortable. But Paul says it's through hardships that we actually enter into the purposes and the will of God. But here he came to these three cities and he encouraged the church there to remain true to the faith. Similar verses later on. As they travelled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem. They had a letter from Jerusalem explaining the main important things for them to be expressing, so for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew in numbers. Grew daily in numbers. This faith, it's what we believe. When Paul talks about the faith, it's our conviction. It's what we believe is important. It's when it's belief as the Bible defines it. It's not just something in the head that we acknowledge and accept, but something that moves from the head to the heart. I like that quote, John, you said from Tozer about, well, how did it go? Our view of God determines how we live. And that will be the same with our belief, our conviction of who God is, will determine how we live our lives. Everything changes. And in the verses we read, men and women been saved either out of a Jewish culture. Paul often or usually started with the synagogues first until they threw him out and then he went to the others. Or it could be a pagan culture. And everything around, just as today, would be pressurizing them to conform to the norms of society. Or the old religion. The old Jewish religion with all its laws and rules. Or paganism with its many gods. But Paul encourages the church, don't compromise. Remain true to the faith. The big issue in Paul's day was circumcision and keeping the Jewish law. And Paul taught that neither circumcision nor keeping the law could ever save them. Don't compromise. Only faith in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But this was too big a step for some. They wanted to keep going back, a bit of the old and mix it in with the new. So on their return, where new churches had been established, Paul and his team encouraged them. Remain strong in the faith, in the gospel that you were originally taught. Don't compromise the gospel. And you see, today we can have different views on all sorts of things, theological, moral, ethical. But there are some things we stand absolutely firm on if we are to remain true to the Christian faith. I don't know what you think those things are. I'm going to just give you a little list of five. I think actually our focus Sunday says seven, so I've obviously relaxed a little bit. Steady, yeah. But first of all, Jesus is the Son of God. No compromise. But others believe he's the Son of God, but don't believe he's God the Son. But he is God the Son too. He is divine. So Jesus is the Son of God and God the Son. We're not compromising on that. That sets him apart from every other religious leader that's ever existed. Hallelujah. Jesus was born of a virgin. 100% God, 100% human. Can't get my head. But that's what I believe and what we believe. He lived, he died, he rose again, and he's coming back. We don't often talk about that last bit, but it's true. He's coming back again. But the important thing Paul says to the New Testament church, you need to understand he lived, he died, or actually he died, he was buried, and he rose again. Fundamental. No symbolic resurrections, physical, natural resurrection. Jesus came back to life. Jesus went back to heaven, and Jesus is coming back here again. Number four, he is the only way to the Father. There is no other name by which we can be saved. That doesn't go down too well in our multi-faith society. But as Christians, we believe that is true. And we stick to that. We don't compromise. That's why Jesus came. That's why he died. That we could be restored and reconciled to the Father. We are saved through faith in him. Not works, not religious whatever, not being brought up in a Christian family or a Christian country, so-called Christian country. The only way we are saved is through our faith in what he's accomplished. I would say those five things are key and the basics of our faith. Would you agree? Some may want to add more, but I mean, for me, that's where I'm at the moment. I've not mentioned baptism. I think it's really important. I've not mentioned being filled with the Holy Spirit. Absolutely essential. I've not mentioned commitment to a church or becoming a disciple of Jesus. I would like to, but I think actually you could get to heaven without them. These are the basis of the fundamental faith. And certainly we could have different views on gender issues, on end time issues, on creation and evolution, even marriage. But being strengthened and remaining true to the faith calls for no compromise on the primary issues, however politically incorrect they may seem. And so, LifeSpring, I want to encourage us to stick to the faith as we read in the Word of God. And that's why we encourage read the Bible. When James talks to his youth groups about different values and principles, I say, James, bring them back to the Word of God. It has to be more than your view, has to be more than my view, more than our view. It needs to be the view of the Word of God. And so that's why we encourage people, read the Bible, go to a cell, commit to a life group, find a mentor, find a discipler, join the family of God so that your faith can be strengthened. Amen. So, number one, the faith. Number two, having faith. I find this very interesting. Verse 28 of Matthew 15, Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted," and her daughter was healed at that moment. Matthew 21, verse 21, Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree," which was cursed in this particular case, "but also you can say to this mountain, 'Go, throw yourself into the sea,' and it will be done, if you have faith." And lastly, one other verse. Has no one returned? So Jesus had just healed 10 lepers. "Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." I find those verses challenging and so interesting. Almost every time Jesus uses the word faith, it's in the context of the miraculous. It was about an event, a healing, a miracle, a deliverance, forgiveness, something which in the natural was impossible, but with God was possible. And time and again, Jesus points out the miracle has come because faith was released. So we understand faith releases the supernatural. Where there is faith, miracles happen. Where faith is lacking, they don't, or at least much less. Even Jesus found that out. Do you remember the story when he went to, I think it was Capernaum? He went there and he just had the healing crusades and stuff in the previous villages, and he came here and they thought, "But this is just the carpenter. We know him. Joseph was his dad." There was no faith. And Jesus says that he was surprised at their lack of faith, and he couldn't do much except heal just a few people. Mind you, I'd like to heal just a few people, but for Jesus that was small fry because he had done so much more before. But their lack of faith prevented that flow of the supernatural. I think that's all very challenging to us. We need to learn to operate in the area of faith so that we see a release in the supernatural, which is what's expected of his church. Notice it's not faith in faith. It's faith in God. We believe. We believe he can. We believe nothing's impossible. We believe he's the Almighty. At times, we even believe he will. And there are those times that we read in the Bible when they just knew it was going to happen. Because the word of God had spoken. And that's why I love to sing and declare, "You're the God of miracles." Written after the songwriter's little baby boy died. And they had prayed and they had prayed and they had fasted, but they'd not seen the miracle. And the little baby went to heaven. And so he wrote this song. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. My faith isn't being reduced. I am standing on the word of God. You are the God of miracles. I'm not going to allow my faith to be shaken. And some of us will have had times when our faith is shaken. But we need to come back to that place again. But no, I believe you are who you say you are. Hallelujah. You've called me. You've chosen me. Your ways are perfect. That's a statement of faith. Your ways are perfect. And I'm trusting you. You're still the healer. You're still great. You're still powerful. So miracles are part of the kingdom message. They won't save people. Jesus did more miracles than anybody else, and they killed him, they turned away from him. But I do believe that supernatural element is something that needs to be developed more and more, which is why I'm grateful for Spirit Cafe. They're pushing out in that area a little bit more. But we need to, as a church, just be so much more expectant for God to come. Increase our faith, Lord, that we might be those who experience more of the miraculous. You see, we live in a culture of cynicism and unbelief. People in the West are probably more spiritually open, actually, than we realize. But material things have replaced the need or desire for the spiritual. So we settle for what our five senses can connect with or enjoy. There's no expectation in most churches that God will do anything beyond. He will act supernaturally. And so he doesn't. So I want to ask the question, can we turn the tide here at LifeSpring? Can we raise our level of faith and expectation? When we come to worship, when we come to ourselves, when we come on Sundays, when we come to pray, Lord, where are you? Do something. Increase my faith. I want to see heaven breaking in. I want to see supernatural. I believe it's such an important part of the message of the gospel. It's so easy to listen to the cynical and the logical. And we believe the cynical and logical arguments. And we wonder why people aren't getting healed, why ourselves aren't growing. We need to find a way to step up to that line of faith and believe God for the impossible. One of the things I love about G12 is Pastor Caesar. One of the people I love about G12 is Pastor Caesar. Others have come and gone. They've seen the model, they've loved the structure, and they've implemented the structures in their churches, just put a different letter before it, P12, S12, F12, whatever. Didn't want to call themselves G12. But what they've missed out on is an apostle of faith. And Pastor Caesar's faith is just something way beyond what I've experienced anybody before. He's believing for nations. He was believing in the midst of a cynical, negative country for God to break through. And he's seen a church of 100,000 plus arise, and churches right across Colombia, churches right across South America, now across the world, some of the biggest churches in the world, G12 churches, because he was a man of faith and he believed God's called him to impact nations. Church, when we come to the conference next week, just allow that impartation to touch your life again. That our faith can be built up again, and that we can believe for the impossible here in Reading and see God glorified. Hallelujah. So, quickly, moving on. Three ways to increase your faith. I won't go into any detail on this. Read your Bible regularly. I love Acts, my favorite book, and I'm reading Acts at the moment, so I'm pretty encouraged. Miracles all the time. God can do it then, he can do it now. So read your Bible. Read, watch, and listen to testimonies of the power of God. I'm not thinking of just little stories, which are good. I'm thinking of the impossible things that God's done, and it's incredible. And sometime we're going to hear from Tamara of an impossible story in Ethiopia, which is just absolutely amazing. God broke through. And they encourage us. He can do it in Ethiopia, he can do it here. And also, as Steve's already reminded us, focus on what God is doing and not on what he's not. Look to see where God's working and keep your eyes on that. We can get too despondent when we see all the problems in the world, but let's just see what God's doing. And that will increase our faith and encourage us to remember that he's the God of the breakthrough. So, having faith. And then just very quickly on this, look at this verse here. This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Another verse. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And a great number of people were brought to the Lord. What an aim for us all. When we have faith, we become full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Men and women of faith, they're not brought down by circumstances, at least not for long. They rise up again. They're more than conquerors. Men and women of faith are trusting God and believing for the future. We're not thrown into such a negative spiral because of Brexit or not. We're trusting God. Whatever happens, he's the one that we're looking to and we're believing in. We're optimistic because we know the God of the future and we know we can trust his promises. Men and women of faith, they don't always see what they're believing for. There's a list in Hebrews 11. Many did. Incredible exploits. But then the writer says this and mentions a whole lot of other names. And he says, all these people earned a good reputation because of their faith, yet none of them received all that God had promised. They died believing. And I want to be somebody like that, that dies believing. Because I always want there to be more than I'm believing for. If I don't see revival, if I don't see God move again powerfully, if I don't see 144 men, 144 women raised up as disciple makers, I hope I will still be believing for them when I die. And not one who's lost all faith and hope in what God wants to do. Let's be men and women of faith. And in the last few minutes I got left, I want to talk about one third aspect, faithfulness. Your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. But you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. And then lastly, Jesus says, or his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. We can have faith because God is so utterly dependable and faithful. And so is his word. His promises are yes and amen. Interesting. Faith and faithfulness in the Bible, though different, they come from the same root word in Hebrew and Greek. And on occasions, translators even argue which word was meant to be in the text, faith or faithfulness. Both expressions are really important. Thinking about faithfulness, I think of loyalty, commitment, trustworthiness, reliability. And God is a rewarder of faithfulness. And because God is faithful, his church should be faithful too. That means we're men and women of our word. What we say, we'll do. We're loyal to each other. We stand up for each other. We protect each other. We cover each other's back. We're committed to God and to the people of God. Life group isn't an extracurricular activity. It becomes an expression of our commitment to God and the vision here at LifeSpring. Being faithful means we're faithful to his word. We're really grappling with it, trying to understand it, not trying to make it think what we think it should. Trying to understand what it originally meant and then applying that here. We are faithful in our giving, not just money, but in serving too. We are faithful. Well, Paul exhorts us, be faithful in prayer. Maybe we're not quite so faithful in that area yet, but we will be. Faithfulness is a characteristic of God and a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And he values faithfulness highly, and we need to too. So just in closing, I want to say, LifeSpring, firstly, let's be faithful to God. Make him our highest priority. Let's do our best not to let him down with wrong language and wrong attitudes or actions. If we love God, we're going to do what he wants. Jesus tells us that. That changes everything. I know disciples who've turned down promotion and salary increases. It conflicted with their call of God on their lives. That's being faithful. It's not just accept whatever promotion comes. Oh, I'm sorry, I can't do this, that, and the other. Now I've got promotion. Maybe you shouldn't have taken promotion. Maybe you should be doing this, that, and the other that God had called you to in the first place. I know disciples who've had to break off a relationship, not because they've fallen out of love, but because they knew that person wasn't God's choice. And they wanted to be faithful. And they're hard decisions to make. Best not to get them in the first place, but we make mistakes. But because I'm being faithful, I'm going to have to bring an end to this relationship. God is my number one priority. I know disciples who didn't move house because they could afford to, or because schools were better elsewhere. Rather, they believed that God had put them in that particular location at that time to make a difference. And so they sent their children to schools which didn't have such a good reputation. And by the way, they weren't harmed by it either. And they could be a blessing. And they brought more life into that school than would have been there otherwise. You see, being faithful is, Lord, what do you want for my life? I'm putting you first. In all things, let's aim to be faithful to God. Secondly, faithful to the vision and call of God. Our challenge, winning souls, making disciples, Great Commission, not the great suggestion. It's God's strategy for transformation. And I believe he's looking for us to say, yes, I want to play my part. I don't know how, but I want to support my life group leader. I want to support the church that we too can win souls, make disciples and raise up leaders and make a difference in this town of Reading. Many struggle with the concept of discipleship, of following leaders, of being challenged to become more Christ-like. They just feel people are interfering in their lives, but that's not church, being faithful to churches. I need that. I need that. We all need people to speak into our lives. Others struggle with the concept that they're actually called to make disciples themselves. They prefer to attend or even follow, but surely not lead. You don't expect me to be influencing others, do you? Well, yes, Jesus does. He called us all to go and make some disciples. And faithfulness to God's vision and call for us surely includes a willingness to be discipled as well as to make disciples too. And that's our universal call. All of us, young ones, old ones, and in between, we're all called to win souls, make disciples. And I like to think that our life groups are the backbone, if you like, so that everybody that certainly wants to be can be discipled and is discipling. And we are faithful to our specific calls too. So we see that as a universal call, but there's a call on us too, because church isn't just a couple of hours on Sunday and an hour in the week, it's 24/7. Some of us are called to be successful businessmen and women for him. Others are called to influence in education or politics or sports or entertainment for him. For others, their main priority is their home or their community. They are a blessing. They are being good news. One translation of Matthew 28 says, as you go, make disciples. Wherever you go, influence others to be followers of Jesus. So I want to say, let's commit to the corporate goal of the Great Commission, transforming Reading and beyond. But we need to be faithful to those specific calls on our lives too. I know Q, I don't know where you are here today, Q, but I know Q feels called into education, called to make a difference as a deputy head in that place in Slough. He's not just doing a job, he believes that's where God has called him to make a difference. And I want to encourage us to see that that's what God wants to do with each and every one of us too. And then thirdly, we're faithful to the family of God. Life springs your home, make it a high priority. Come to give as well as to receive, and you'll be even more blessed. Look to serve, keep short accounts, love everyone, be hospitable, look out for others, each other's needs, be generous, give honour where honour's due. But let's be faithful to the people of God that God's put us among. So just a few challenges, just a few reminders today on faith and faithfulness. So as I said at the beginning, that church in Colossae, wouldn't it be great if something along the lines of LifeSpring, we've heard of your faith in Christ and the love that you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from that hope stored up for you in heaven, and the gospel across Reading is bearing fruit even throughout the world. That's my longing, that's my heart, that's my prayer for us as a church. And there's just a few thoughts for life groups to pick up.
Thanks for listening. To find out more about LifeSpring Church, please go to www.lifespringchurch.org.uk.
Shall we pray?